Hopes of another successful May in Chico State history. The Wildcats will be back in action this coming weekend at the Brutus Hamilton Invitational in Berkeley, California. All right, well, that's it for the men's side. Now let's throw it over to the ladies. In softball news, over the weekend, the Lady Wildcats swept Cal State East Bay, winning 3 out of 4 games in the series, bringing their record up to an outstanding 33-11 for the season. The Wildcats will face their last regular season test of the season against San Francisco State Friday and Saturday before starting the CCAA Championship Tournament on April 29th. In women's golf news, the Lady Wildcats were out of action this week, but will compete this Friday, April 22nd, at the Battle of the Bay in Pacific Grove, California. In women's track and field news, Chico State scores 3 wins and 7 personal best records, as well as a couple rearrangements to the Chico State record books over the weekend. The Wildcats will have one more tune-up in Berkeley, California this weekend before the CCAA Championships take place next month. Well, guys, that's it for your Chico State Weekly Wildcat Wrap-Up. Once again, I'm your host, DJ J Pounds. Make sure to tune into the Chico State Weekly Wrap-Up every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Much love, and thank you for listening to your community power radio station, 90.1 FM KZFR Chico.
It is that time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Say Hey. Jake's out. He's down in San Francisco, enjoying some cooler weather, I imagine. Checking out the Giants game. Giants play the Diamondbacks tonight at 7:15, so that's where Jake will be before he heads out to Europe for about a month-long trip out there. He's touring with the band out there, so best luck to him on his trip, on all his travel endeavors. Let's do this. Let's get into the underwriting, and we'll go ahead and start the show from there. Looks like I'm flying solo. Noobs is out, apparently. Derek is not here either, so you guys are stuck with me. I'm your host, Jerome Gilbert, filling in, like I said, for Jake. So let's do this. Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Ave. Open every day from 11 a.m. until midnight and beyond. More information at buffalowildwings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We're also made possible by Formal Education, voted best of Chico for 2015. Formal Education provides everything for the well-appointed man. From casual to formal, you'll find designer and top brand clothing, accessories, and personal products too at 334 Broadway in downtown Chico. More information by calling 809-1839 or at formaleducation.com. Allow Formal Education to educate you. So appreciate the sponsors. Like I said, everyone's out. So we're going to keep this show pretty brief. What happened over the past week? Besides a lot, the Warriors won 73 games. We saw the last of Kobe, at least in a Lakers uniform, on the court, playing as a member of the Lakers. NBA playoffs started. Of course, baseball is underway since we last talked. The Giants have played now two series versus the dreaded Dodgers. And this weekend didn't go great for the Giants, but, you know, it's really early in the season, and we'll probably wait till Noobs gets here next week and really start to dive into more baseball chatter then, because in the meantime, in between time, we have a ton of NBA hoop to chat about. So I thought it was pretty amazing that Kobe, at 72 years old, could steal the spotlight from a team that won 73 regular season games, also knocking off the 95-96 Jordan Chicago Bulls. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. In fact, it's never happened. So it was surprising to me that it obviously wasn't swept under the rug. But the national spotlight, it got plenty of attention. But when you think about the spectacle that was Kobe Bryant's last game in Staples Center, I think it paled in comparison. And I think a lot of that was in part due to how the games unfolded. The Warriors game was that the Warriors had control of that game within the first 3 minutes of the first quarter, maybe 6 minutes. The point being is you didn't have to watch for very long to know what was going to happen. Definitely going into halftime, I don't have it in front of me, but I know they're up anywhere between 18 and 22, something like that. So, I mean, there was that, you know. And it's Kobe. I think with the Warriors, at minimum, we have another, well, now at this point, at minimum, we have another 15 games to watch them. We still have, Steph is obviously just stepping into the prime of his career. So, you know, hopefully, all things considered, injury, you know, if he stays fairly injury free, we have another, you know, 4 to 5 years of him in his prime, and then, you know, another 4 to 5 to 6 or however many years on the back end of his career to really watch Steph Curry play. And I say all that just to justify what I think was some of the fascination over Kobe Bryant and his last game there. Obviously, Kobe Bryant, one of the more polarizing figures in recent memory in the NBA, especially even with among Lakers fans, Kobe is viewed, you know, he's a polarizing figure within his own fan base. Some Lakers fans can't get past the Colorado incident, and I'm definitely not going to take much time. Actually, that's the only time I'm going to take talking about that, because I don't want to dive into it because I'm sick of talking Kobe. I won't lie, the last couple times I've filled in for Jake, it's been all about Kobe. When Kobe announced he was retiring, Derek and I were in here that week. I think that day, actually, that he announced it. So we spent pretty much the whole time talking about that. Then the next time, I'm pretty sure, was Kobe's last All-Star game. So we had to talk a bunch of Kobe then. And now here I am following Kobe's last game. And once again, we get to talk Kobe. And again, we've really kind of tilled the land as much as we can about Kobe. So I definitely don't want to get into the whole Colorado incident. And I don't want to go into so much, was he the all-time greatest Laker? Those talks, boy, you want to put me to sleep. Start talking all-time best anything, and I am out of there, okay? I don't like comparing sports across eras. This whole, who was better, the Jordan-led Bulls or the Curry-led Warriors? Not for me, man. I'm out. And I got to witness both teams in my lifetime. I don't care. I don't care. They're both fantastic. Can't we just have greatness and just appreciate greatness? And I realize it's sports, so we have to be able to compartmentalize things. And, you know, we have to have our list of so-and-so is the best, and this is why. No. I'm not for all that, man. That's some sucker stuff right there, man. I think it's a waste of my intellectual time. So what I do find fascinating about Kobe was not just the style in which he played with, but the man that he was. Because even with my own fandom, I have a hard time placing Kobe, right? Because on the one hand, you have the guy who went out and scored 81 points against the Raptors, and all 81 of those points was necessary to beat the Raptors because I believe they only won by, I know they won by less than 10 points that game. It was a pretty competitive game. So on the one hand, you have that, right? Right? And on the other hand, you do have Kobe being a little ornery with media, to put it lightly, over the years. And let's remove the last 3 years. Am I right? The last 3 years was essentially Kobe realizing he's not the player he once was. And to be honest, I think if anything about Kobe's career was astonishing and remarkable, I think that is what was incredible. A man who was so determined, who was by all accounts kind of aloof and very much into his own world, and he was so great, and I think greatness has a hard time understanding mediocrity, or greatness can struggle when it comes to just your relatability. You know, for example, I don't know how Barry Bonds is going to fare as a Marlins hitting coach, because how do you explain to someone how to be awesome at something that naturally you are awesome at, right? Like, for example, I used to be able to dunk. I can't just tell you how to go out and dunk. I would just get frustrated that you can't get up there and you can't dunk the ball. You know, I would tell you to work harder, here's some exercises. But if you're not athletic, it's not something you just pick up. And so in a lot of ways, one of the funny things Kobe said is, yeah, I'm going to be around and mentor these guys. Really? Really? Does Roy Hibbert have your phone number even, Kobe? Does D'Angelo Russell have your phone number? Who are you mentoring? Let's be real, Kobe. You don't care about these cats at all. You're ready to move on. I get it. But let's not pretend Kobe was ever this great teammate. He was a great player. He was a great athlete. He was a student of the game. And he was great on the court, but he was never a great teammate. You guys remember a whole incident when he snitched on Shaq to the police? Yeah, that happened. Let's not forget about that. We all got worked up over D'Angelo Russell, you know, releasing that video about Nick Young when Nick Young was apparently, unbeknownst to Nick Young, confessing his immoralities and essentially saying he was cheating on his fiance. And we all wanted to get mad, and Lakers fans, which I just thought was absolutely hilarious, were booing D'Angelo Russell. Same, just a few weeks prior to Kobe's last game, and we're giving this guy a farewell tour, and the same fans who are going to stand and applaud Kobe, and again, they have plenty of reason to do so, conveniently forgot about the fact that Kobe went to the police and said, you know, I should have just paid her off, talking about the Colorado incident, I should have just paid her off, like Shaq does all his women. What? What are you doing, bro? But no, that's not how revisionist history works, right? Right? If you're a Lakers fan, that's not how it goes down. We remember Kobe in the 5 championships. We don't like to remember Kobe in that first playoff series against Utah, checking up 3 air balls at the end of the game. From 3. But see, and this is why Kobe is a complex figure to me. A lot of people have a problem with him taking those shots at the end of the game. Not me. That's what I respected about Kobe. He would shoot, and he would shoot, and he would shoot again, knowing that he's going to miss some shots, and he did not care, because he was going to shoot his way out of that. And honestly, a piece of that I've taken into my own life. I remember thinking, when I was much younger, watching Kobe Bryant, and again, I've never been a huge, huge Kobe fan. I've respected him. I've been annoyed with him. But I always admired that about him. And the story goes, Dwight Howard was on the Lakers, right, a couple years back. Dwight Howard has, I believe, is around a 50% free throw shooter now. He's always been in the 50s and 40s. He's always been horrible, right? So he's talking to Kobe, and he's saying, Kobe's saying, well, why don't you just shoot 1,000 free throws? And Dwight Howard's like, well, I have. And Kobe's like, right, shoot 1,000 more. And he's like, well, I need to do something different. You know, I just can't make them. I can make them in practice, and then it's in the game. And he's like, so, you know, I've been shooting, I've been practicing, and I'm just not getting better. And Kobe said, yeah, you shoot 1,000 more, because you're going to miss some of those too. His point being is you can't be scared of the moment. You can't be scared to take those shots. And that's what I always admired about Kobe, is he was never scared of the moment. And I think that 60-point effort on 50 shots, mind you, not scared to shoot, like I said. He took 23s in that game. You know, and I respect it. It's his last game. And I thought it was a very fitting way for Kobe to go out. And so I do understand why the game had the ratings it got and how it stole the attention of NBA fans everywhere. But let's not forget, right? Let's not forget that, on the other hand, we have the Warriors. 73 wins in a season, like I said, breaking the Jordan Bulls record of 72. It looked like the record might be in doubt there for a minute. It looked like some of the players were saying, yeah, you know. Steve Kerr came out and said, you know, I'm going to talk to my guys, you know. Because they basically, I believe it was the Timberwolves. After the Timberwolves loss, they had to win the next four games. They had to win out. And one of those games was in San Antonio, a place where the Warriors haven't won a regular season game since 1997. Okay? So it was looking like the record might be in doubt. And then somehow the Warriors ended up doing what the Warriors have done all season, bouncing back and playing great down the stretch. And obviously they beat San Antonio and they ruined the San Antonio Spurs' chances of potentially being the first team to go an entire season without losing a home game. And so on and so forth. And the story's been written for the regular season. And I don't want to get into whether or not this whole season is going to be a bust if they don't win a championship. That's all a matter of perspective. And we could talk about that when that doesn't happen. I don't think there's any point in talking about it right now. I think what is interesting is this ankle situation we got going. So yeah, boy, that ankle. You know whose ankle we're talking about. Indeed, the best player in the NBA right now, Steph Curry, that ankle is a huge concern. Now, I know the Warriors team officials did everything they could to play it down, but tip-off is what, in an hour and a half? Oh, hour and 15 minutes, and I ain't got no update on my phone telling me Steph's playing. So what does that tell me? It tells me that the Warriors, at best, are tentative about letting Steph play in this game. If he for sure wasn't playing, I don't think they would have come out and said it. And maybe even if he was for sure playing, maybe you don't come out and say it because you don't want to give any advantages to the Houston Rockets and JB Bickerstaff and the whole coaching staff over there to be able to plan around that. However, what I do find interesting is the Rockets' approach. Now, the Rockets, they have, with a healthy Steph Curry, they have literally zero chance of winning this series. There's no chance. If Steph Curry's playing and they, for the most part, stay healthy around him, you saw the game. And if you didn't, I believe the score was 104-78. So that game was out of control by the midway through the second. And the Rockets, they're a mess this year. They had to creep into the playoffs. They looked awful pretty much all season. They go into the Western Conference playoffs with a 500 record. And this is the same team that a year ago played these same Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. And this year they find themselves getting into the playoffs on the last day of the regular season. So, yeah, they ain't got no chance, bruh. No chance. If you're out there and you're saying, hey, you know, I'm holding out hope. My mom, bless her, she lives in Houston. You know, she's got a lot of Houston Rocket friends. You could tell them all, mama, they ain't got no chance. There's zero chance of the Rockets, and I mean zero, of them getting past the Warriors with hashtag full squad. A healthy team. The Warriors are healthy. There's just zero chance. But like I said, what I find interesting is the way they have guarded Steph Curry to this point. Now, Steph Curry was the leading scorer in the other night's game, in Saturday's game, and he only played 19 minutes. The reason he only played 19 minutes is because he said he had a sore ankle and had to leave the game early. For those of you who saw the game, you saw Patrick Beverley sexually harassing Steph Curry pretty much the entire game. Hands all over him, pushing him, grabbing him, even before the game started. He walks up to him to give him a high five, as most players do before the game. Hey, what up? You know, a little slap, show respect. He gave him a high five and then gave him a little, you know, chest bump right after. And I'm not talking like, what's up? Let's chest bump, chest bump. I'm talking, he kind of, hey, I'm here. I'm going to shake you up a little bit. It was a Patrick Beverly handshake, as you expect Patrick Beverly to shake everyone's hand in the league, because Patrick Beverly is good at one thing and one thing only on the basketball court, and that is being irritating as hell. That is his job. And I honestly think if you are the Rockets, that's what you got to do. I mean, straight up, if I'm the Rockets, if I'm JB Bickerstaff and I'm that coaching staff there, what I'm telling them to do on the low, and I would never ever admit this to the media, hey, you see, next time Steph Curry takes a three, yeah. Patrick Beverly, go ahead and just slide your foot on underneath him right there. And, you know, if he lands on your foot, he lands on your foot. You know, if you get the foul, you get the foul. But let's get Steph out of this game, because that is their only chance. And, you know, that is it's an interesting debate to have. It's an interesting situation, because you always want your team to beat the other team at full strength, to have that real pride, just like the Warriors last year. Everyone gave them a hard time, even after winning a championship, because who'd they play? Everybody they played, the starting point guard was hurt. That's all I heard. Everyone they played, the starting point guard was out, whether it was Mike Conley, Kyrie Irving, goes on and on, right? They seem to, quote-unquote, catch a lucky break, but I think, if anything, they kind of dispelled that real quick when they started the season with 24 wins in a row. Am I right? So, what do you do if you're Houston? What do you do if you're really any team at this point, right? You got to take Steph Curry out, and clearly guarding him one-on-one, double-teaming him up top, picking him up right after he crosses half court, that ain't working. So what do you do? You got to rough him up a little bit. You got to hang on to him. You got to tug out his jersey. And yeah, if you could get one of them ankles to roll too, why not, right? I know it's a moral dilemma, for real. That is a tough moral dilemma right there. But, I mean, hey, you know, winning cures all, right? And 20 years from now, no one's going to look back at this Warriors championship last year and say, oh, yeah, but who'd they beat? All they're going to remember is that the Warriors won a championship. And I think if I'm playing the Warriors right now, if I'm on that coaching staff for the Rockets, oh, boy, you better believe. I'm telling them, and I'm whispering it. Hey, James. Hey, Harden, come over here real quick. Next time you're on Steph there, just maybe kick your foot out a little bit. Because what are you going to do, man? The guy's shooting over 45% from 30 feet and beyond. There's nothing you can do to stop him. No one's been able to do it all season. And when I hear, oh, well, you know, Derek Sean told me this last night. Oh, well, you know, the Spurs defended him well in one game. What about the other three? Huh? Warriors are playing at home four of the seven games. What do you do? That's the way. That is the way you beat them. You play some prison ball out there. You injure them, maybe. That's the only way I see them slowing down at this point. You can save it with all the Spurs talk. The only team that would scare me as a diehard Warriors fan, the Clippers, honestly. And only because of the matchups, right? On paper, the Clippers are great. The point guard's great. Blake Griffin's great. DeAndre Jordan's great. J.J. Redick, great three-point shooter. You know, on paper, they're great. Not as deep as the Warriors, but on paper, they're really good. That scares me. But then I remember, last year's Western Conference semifinals. Y'all remember? I know you remember that one, right? That was rough for the Clippers. You had a 17-point lead at home, and James Harden is sitting on the bench for the Rockets, and you let Josh Smith, go off on you and beat you. 17 points up. 17. And you lost that game. So I still don't trust a team. And shout out to the homie DJ Jake Pounds, huge Clippers fan. I still don't trust a team who has some of the issues that the Clippers have had on and off the court. Because let's not forget, Blake Griffin just got back after a nice long suspension and broken hand after beating up his homeboy and equipment manager from that team. So, you know, again, if I'm anyone in the Western Conference that has a potential matchup with Steph Curry, I'm hoping the Rockets beat him up. You know, I'm hoping they keep tugging on that jersey, that they're sliding their foot underneath him, pulling the Jalen Rose. He did that several years ago to Kobe in the finals, where Kobe went up for a jumper and Jalen Rose just slid that foot right up on under there. You know, give Kobe nowhere to land. And that's what you do, because at this point, man, nothing has worked. They've tried to pick him up at half court. He's too good of a passer. They've tried to jump him on the doubles. And you saw last year in that Memphis series, it worked a little bit. It worked a little bit in that Cleveland series in the finals. Mm-mm. Not this year, boy, I'm telling you. Steph got, I don't know what all he did in this offseason, but he raised his scoring 6 points. He was MVP last year. He should win most improved player this year on top of being the first unanimous MVP in the history of the NBA. What do you do, man? That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking my foot under him. I made that point, so let's move on. Like I said, Giants are taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks this evening. So make sure you, if you're a Giants fan, you're going to tune in for that. The Kings obviously parted ways with George Karl. I really want Noobs to be here to talk about that because we kind of joked around about that earlier in the season. But I do want to say something, man. You cannot hire a coach who is scared of your best player, okay? Let this be an announcement to the rest of the league. If you hire a coach, you got to make sure he ain't going to shrink in front of the best player. And we saw this happen. That's what happened with David Blatt. David Blatt said, we saw LeBron took control of that team in the first game of the regular season. Y'all remember that? David Blatt tried to sit him. LeBron said, nah. Now, that happens all the time where they try to sit a player down. But when LeBron's sending coded messages out through the media about who's really coaching that team, you know it's a wrap. And when you see Big Cuz, Boogie Cousins, going off and cussing out George Karl on the sidelines and George Karl not doing anything about it, there's only one way this thing could work out. There's only one way this thing could work out. He had to go. Someone has to go. And they definitely ain't getting rid of Boogie. It's a lot easier to get rid of your coach at that point. So I don't even know how many coaches this is for the Kings. I don't have it up in front of me because I don't care because that whole entire organization is a mess, bruh. Absolute mess right now. Complete. I mean, that is a dumpster fire. They have talented players. If you look at Cousins' numbers, they're through the roof. And that's actually something I want to talk about next week. Just going over because, I mean, if you look at some of these other guys, what Russell Westbrook is doing this season is just stupid. What Boogie Cousins has done, even though he hasn't played that much because he was constantly suspended or injured, it's stupid. It's dumb. Chris Paul's having a hell of a season. LeBron's having a hell of a season. Nobody cares. Nobody cares because Steph Curry just lit the league up this year. That's why. If you're playing Steph and you're playing the Warriors, stick your feet out up under him, bro. That's the only way to get him out of there. You know, so appreciate everyone listening. This was a little impromptu. Say hey. Next week I'll be back with the team, man. Hashtag full squad. We'll have Noobs here. We'll have Derek in the building. We'll do this real proper. But hope you at least enjoyed a little bit of this. Me just kind of winging it over here, playing backup quarterback. Got my Brock Osweiler on. Maybe I'll get that $18 million contract based off a few good shows here, but we'll see. Anywho, that's going to do it for me, man. Make sure you stay tuned. What do we have next? Peace Talk Radio is next. You can always check me out on Flipside Radio every Sunday night from 11:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. Playing a bunch of hip-hop on that show. Got local artists coming on next week. Feel free to do that and make sure you stay tuned for the 90.1 KZFR Pledge Drive. It's how we pay the bills around here. So anything you can help us out with, the smallest donations, they all make a difference. So please support community radio. Peace Talk Radio coming up in a few minutes. Right now, let's hear from Radio Paradise.